Today, hold on, rates and inflation are going up, but why? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Sorry to say, households already under the pump, as I discussed in my live show yesterday, are going to face more pain in the months ahead as interest rates rise and inflation breaks higher. It was already trending that way, but the conflict in the Middle East is making things worse, and despite some hoping, an easy exit strategy does not exist at the moment. In response to all of this, NAB and Westpac today revised their cash rate forecasts, with both banks now expecting the RBA to hike their rate next Tuesday by 0.25%, with another increase in May. If true, that would mean back-to-back hikes for three successive meetings, remembering that the RBA is not scheduled to meet in April, and often when the RBA makes a move, it follows up in the next couple of meetings with more moves too. So this could mean we're looking at an official cash rate of 4.35%. Senior economist at NAB, Taylor Nugent, warned that Australia's headline inflation rate could go higher than 5% if petrol and diesel prices continue to rise. Inflation will peak above 5% in the second quarter unless fuel benchmark prices retrace from current levels over the coming weeks, he told the ABC. Actually, markets now have a 70% bet on a rise next week, and the ASX 30-day interbank cash rate futures is showing a peak at 4.43% by the end of the year and 4.38% out to August 2027. And bond yields are rising as the 2-year and the 10-year shows compared with just a few weeks ago. Now, that said, the other two major banks, CBA and ANZ, are still expecting the RBA to hold until May, which is what NAB and Westpac had previously been forecasting. Westpac in their note said that the effect of higher oil prices on headline inflation are large but temporary. The RBA Monetary Policy Board will nevertheless feel compelled to react, especially given the hit to confidence and financial markets that have so far not been too severe. Key information shifted, they said, in our view, that the RBA communications reveal that it was not changing its pessimistic view of growth in supply capacity following the national accounts, even though data revisions, consumption, and unit labour costs paint a more benign picture. In addition, it has signalled a willingness to respond to the spike in headline inflation to head off a sustained rise in inflation expectations. This is despite expectations having remained anchored in recent years in the face of more lasting shocks, although the most recent Ray Morgan showed 6% is in some people's minds at the moment, which is pretty high. And it seems that hawkish comments from the RBA Deputy Governor Andrew Horder on Tuesday has triggered this rapid rethink in markets. The Aussie dollar also shot up as well. That's the highest since the middle of 2022. And bond yields jumped after the policymaker said it would be bad for everyone if the central bank did not act decisively. Speaking in a podcast interview with The Conversation on Tuesday, Horser said he now expected inflation to rise above the RBA's 4.2% forecast by June, but topped short of the 5% suggested by NAB. Westpac said that this new information since the national accounts came out, in addition to the steer from the February minutes that the RBA believed that all the exchange rate appreciation this year reflects the changed domestic rate outlook, it has not allowed for any additional disinflation from the US dollar sell-off, separating from domestic rate moves. We think this puts downside risk into imported inflation relative to the RBA's expectation, but not until at least later this year. Now, these more frequent shifts in policy are partly a consequence of the refinement to the RBA's mandate in the latest statement on the conduct of monetary policy. In addition, they said, we assess that the recent changes in the composition of the Monetary Policy Board have made it more comfortable with policy activism and attempts to fine-tune policy to hit target midpoints by a fixed horizon. Hawes's comments follows an equally stark warning from the Governor Michelle Bullock at the Australian Financial Review Business Summit last week when she said that the March meeting was live to another move in rates, triggering strong moves in the bond markets, as I discussed. The combination of hawkish commentary from both the Governor and Deputy Governor over the past week contains more signal than noise, said NAB, led by Chief Economist Sally Auld, in a note on Wednesday. It's clear from their commentary that senior RBA officials are inclined to view the Iranian conflict as an inflationary shock. Now, there are profound consequences from all of this. For example, the Reserve Bank of Australia's forecasts, as laid out in its February statement of monetary policy before the crisis, suggested that the RBA does not anticipate real wages will recover over the forward estimates. By the June quarter of 2028, actually, the RBA forecasts that Australia's real wages will remain 6.4% below the mid-2020 peak, at around the same level as the March quarter of 2011. It seems that these forecasts may prove optimistic, actually. The wage price index for the December quarter from the ABS reported that real inflation-adjusted wages fell by around 0.3% in 2025 and were tracking 6% below their COVID-19 bubble period back to those 2011 levels. Now, true, they did leap to a broader wage definition, which includes superannuation payments and promotions. But whichever way you look at it, the nexus of rising costs and slowing wage growth is a big problem, and of course taxes are still rising. As I often explain, households with cash flow pressures can manage for a while, but time itself is another factor because the long, slow grind is likely to continue, and of course households prioritise mortgage repayments or rent payments, but the question is what else gives? And I note that CBA's latest wage insight for February has just come out, using CBA internal salary transaction data to provide a proxy for wage inflation. According to the CBA, nominal wages grew by just 0.7% over the quarter and by 3.1% annually, which is significantly below the latest ABS CPI headline of 3.8% in the year to January 2026. So it's not just interest rates, but broader costs too. And it's worth thinking about this because while Australia is a net energy exporter, so higher oil and gas prices could deliver a slight national income boost to energy companies and their shareholders and maybe even government budgets, you have to watch the global gas price because that remains very high due to supply disruptions, including the suspension of exports from Qatar, and that supplies about 20% of global liquefied natural gas. Of course, worse, in Australia, gas is also a marginal price setter in the wholesale energy market. Therefore, rising gas prices mean high electricity prices for everyone on the national energy market. Because Australia lacks a functioning reservation policy requiring gas producers to supply Australians before exporting, the domestic gas price is tied directly to, guess what, international prices. So we are seeing compounding failures hitting ordinary households. It is likely that Chalmers will be forced to provide more household relief, but that will simply increase government debt, which is already touching the $1 trillion range. And of course, the yield on those bonds are higher, which is costing the government more. On the back of this, we can expect taxes to rise and economic growth to slow in a classic stagflation squeeze. And as Canstar noted, if the Westpac and NAB forecasts prove accurate, the RBA will deliver 3 back-to-back rate hikes across February, March and May, a scenario that would add further pressure to already stretched household budgets. A family with a $600,000 mortgage isn't just looking at a few extra dollars each month. If the RBA ends up rolling out 3 successive hikes through to May, they're looking at an extra $272 just as winter sets in. So they said if you haven't stress tested your budget against a rate that's at least half a percentage point higher, tonight is the night to do it. For example, if you're now sitting on a rate of 5.75%, test it out at 6.25% or even 6.5% to see if it stacks up against your budget. For borrowers, the key message is to prepare for the possibility of higher rates, even if it's not yet a done deal. Now is the time to make sure your mortgage is competitive. But actually, it's those in the rental sector, 75% of whom are already in cash flow stress, which I think are likely to be bearing the brunt of all this. And reflecting on the RBA, well, they took too long to get inflation down as they tried to maintain the high levels of unemployment. And so they kept rates too low for too long. And this means Australia is caught in a pincer movement, which could well be worse than other Western countries, despite all the natural resources. Policy failure right there. And there's more. As a result of sluggish productivity, growth is above the RBA's best guess of the economy's 2% speed limit, that it is sustainable without fueling inflation. Federal government spending has accelerated 16% in nominal terms over the past two financial years to a 40-year high, excluding the pandemic lockdown stimulus. And the states are also being more fiscally reckless as a November election looms, for example, in Victoria. So, if the Reserve Bank of Australia raises interest rates next Tuesday, actually it will not really be just because of the oil price shock from the conflict in the Middle East, but boy, it will give the bank, oh, and the government, a heck of a good alibi. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.